On All Saints Day, it's a tradition for Christians to read usually either the Beatitudes, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, or the Sermon on the Plain, which is found in the Gospel of Luke. And this lectionary cycle, we're doing the Sermon on the Plain, which just means it's flat ground as opposed to hilly ground. And most theologians opine that these two scriptures are a very important summary of Jesus' teaching. And can't you imagine Christ telling us the Sermon on the Plain today? Most of us, including myself, we really don't know what to do with the Sermon on the Plain. Luke's version of the Beatitudes, well, one, it's longer, okay? It doesn't look as pretty in a counted cross stitch or needlepoint to put on the wall. Because we get to those tricky verses starting in 24. And that's the woes. There aren't woes in the Beatitudes. But Luke, the great storyteller, he has blessings and woes. And when we hear that in the Sermon on the Plain, I don't know about you, but right away I start to feel a little bit defensive and maybe a little guilty. Probably more guilt than defensive. And I hear them as new commandments, right? Ooh, I need to put that on my refrigerator, Put it as the screensaver on my cell phone. Because they're telling me what I need to do, right? They're telling us that, we have too much stuff. I'm too well fed, well, obviously. And I'm immune to emotion. Or maybe it's I'm too accommodating to those who don't embrace the love and grace that we're called to show others. But can we go back to the text? I love that pretty picture. Let's go back to the text. Either the blessings or the woes, either one. There aren't any shoulds. There aren't any oughts. You ought to. There are no shouts or shalls or shall not. Like the language of the Beatitudes in Matthew, Luke's Sermon on the Plain is not transactional language. What does that mean? It means do this and you'll get this, right? Do that and you'll receive that. This is not transactional language here. It is descriptive language. And it describes who these people are right now. And this is what the future holds for them. Can you go to the blessings? There you go. That's fine. Go to the previous one if you can. Blessed are you who are hungry now. Notice in each one of those it's now. For you will be filled. I love this. For you will laugh. Right? And this is a very important point. We've often heard the Beatitudes and the blessings and woes taught as moral exhortations, with the message that if you can accomplish the ideal that Jesus mandates for you, then you will be given this great reward. And that's hard for us. We are doers. We are doers. And we are chasing blessing each and every moment. We want to be blessed. We want to know what to do in order to gain blessing, right? We want to do the right thing. We really do. We want to do the right thing. We study hard, we compete, and sometimes we work ourselves to death. It may not be a literal death, but it may be an emotional and spiritual death. We chase what we want, and it's often at a great cost. We chase blessing, and we think we can catch it, and we think we can earn it. Many of you know that I have a dachshund named Betty, right? Mother Amy and David at St. Nicholas, they have a greyhound named Gata. And there are, I don't think there are any two dogs that are so different than a dachshund and a greyhound. So I'm going to tell you a little story about a greyhound. It's a picture of a greyhound. And some of you may have seen greyhound races. They're ending all over the world, which they should. I think even Great Britain is starting to shut down the dog tracks. So what the dogs do is there's a mechanical rabbit that is on the inside of the track that goes around the track, and the dogs run after the rabbit, okay? And when the dogs get to a point where they can't race anymore, they're either euthanized or, more likely, they are adopted. A lot of Greyhound Rescue Associations, and a lot of them are brought over to the United States. And so here's a story. The other day, a man was walking in his neighborhood, and he saw a man walking a greyhound. And so the man said to the dog, "Are you still racing?" And the dog said, no, I don't race anymore. And the man said, "Do you miss all that glitter and excitement of the track?" And the dog said, "No, I really don't miss it." The man said, "Well, why aren't you racing? Did you get too old to race?" "No, I still have a lot of race left in me." "Well, what then? Didn't you win? Did you always come in last?" And the dog said, "No, actually, I won over $1 million for my owner. I was very good." "So what's the matter? Were you mistreated?" You know, getting ready to get angry all here. Says the dog said, "Oh, no. I was treated very well when we were racing." "Oh, did you get injured? Are you crippled?" The dog says, "No, I'm not crippled." "Then why aren't you racing?" the man questioned the dog. You know, sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get information from a dog. Mm-hmm. And the dog said, "Well, I quit." "You quit?" "Yes," the dog said, "I quit." "Well, why did you quit?" And the dog said, "Well, I discovered that what I was chasing wasn't really a rabbit. And I quit." And the dog looked up at the man and said, "All that running after what looked like what I wanted, but what was it actually? It wasn't even real. Even if I had caught it, it wouldn't have satisfied my hunger for even one day." We chase, and we chase. And by chasing, what do we actually accomplish? The Sermon on the Plain are promises from God. They are a blessing promised by God to those people who already have what the sermon describes. And yes, there are also woes to those folks who are too selfish, too satiated, and too full of themselves. So the poor, the hungry, the mournful, the reviled hear the Sermon on the Plain as words of encouragement and consolation. And they are surprising promises, because we notice Jesus' blessings completely reverse the values of most societies, including our own. Jesus is describing, as I think he always describes, an alternate reality of blessing and woes that is a reversal of the values that most of society holds. Now, honestly, every time I come to this text, I struggle with it. You know, where am I supposed to go with this? Have I told that Graham joke before? And where do we go from here? I realize that the best thing, especially on All Saints Sunday, is for us to get out of today's gospel message, the best thing for us to get is what the Sermon on the Plain promises. And that's a blessing. And with all of our chasing, I think what we all really want is to be blessed. One of my favorite authors is, and I know I always butcher his name, God rest his soul, is Henri Nouwen. He was a Catholic priest. He had a very nice, and bless you, blessing. Had a very nice and cushy position at an Ivy League university, but he left it to become a chaplain at a community for physically challenged people and neurodivergent people. And in one of his stories, he tells how one of his friends, Janet, had a lot of physical and neurological differences, but she was a wonderful woman. And Janet said to Henri one day, "Henri, can you bless me?" And he remembers walking up to her and giving her a little, you know, he's Catholic, giving her a little cross on her forehead. And she kind of puckered her face up and said, "No, that doesn't work. That's not what I mean." And he was just a little embarrassed. And Henri says, "I gave you a blessing." And Janet said, No. "I want to be blessed." And he didn't know what she meant. And later that afternoon, they had their worship service. And all of, you know, Janet and all of her peers were sitting there, and the workers were sitting there as well. And after the service, Henri said, "Janet wants a blessing." And so Janet walked up to Henri and said, I want to be blessed. You know, her hands clenched in little fists. And so what Janet did is she put her head against Henri's chest. And what Henri did was immediately, spontaneously, put his arms around her, and he held her. And he looked right into her eyes and said, "Blessed are you, Janet. You know how much we love you. You know how important you are, and you know what a good woman you are." And she looked up at him and said, "Yes, yes, yes, I know." And Nouwen said he suddenly saw all kinds of energy coming back into Janet. She seemed to be so relieved because suddenly she realized again that she was blessed. And Janet walked back to her place, and you know what's going to happen. Immediately, other people said, "I want that kind of blessing. I want it. I want it too." And so in that worship service, everybody kept coming up, walking up to Nouwen. And he suddenly found himself embracing people. And he remembers that after that, one of the people in their community that was a very valued worker who assisted the physically handicapped, he was a very strong guy, you know, probably a rugby player or something. And he came up to Henri and said, looking down at the floor, he said, "Henri, can I have a blessing too?" And Nouwen remembers them standing there in front of each other, and he said, "John," and he put his hand on John's shoulder, "you are blessed. You are a good person. God loves you. We love you. You are important." All Saints' Day reminds us that God's definition of blessed is not about success. It's not about comfort. It's not about accolades. It's about proximity to Christ. How close are we to Christ? So if you feel unseen, unheard, unworthy, impoverished, hungry, mournful, reviled, well, you're in good company. You're standing among the saints. All those people that are in that picture on the front of your bulletin. And what did Christ call you? Blessed. You are blessed. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.